Guardians of the Geekery. We had a fantastic time at Con Carolina as the whole Guardians of the Geekery crew. And this episode is, we're really fortunate to grab author, special guest, Aaron Rosenberg. He's the author of course, the best-selling Duck Bob sci-fi comedy series. But what's really interesting is to hear, I won't spoil it, but his description of what the Relicant Chronicles are. It's epic fantasy, but his description is just amazing. So please join us for this great conversation we had at Con Carolina's 2019. Enjoy.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
So good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Guardians
of the Geekery.
Guardians of the Geekery podcast.
Talking to the microphone.
Thank you. Yeah, that is never my problem. Have we noticed this? I'm never the one that say not to talk into the mic. But it's not about me. It's about you. That's what I say every podcast.
Good morning, Aaron Rosenberg. Our first guest,
welcome.
Aaron Rosenberg.
Yes. So you are the author guest of honor here at Con Carolinas. Right. And is this your first Con Carolinas?
It's my second. I was here 5 years ago, I think it was.
Oh.
So it's been a minute. Yeah. So how was your con?
It's been great.
I'm kind of concerned because you're wide awake this early on a Sunday morning. I don't think you partied enough.
Well, so I have two kids, so you know this is late for me. So I get to sleep in when I'm at cons.
So we wanted to talk to you a little bit. You have done a plethora,
yes,
a myriad stuff.
Nice word usage.
I was trying very hard because you're not supposed to do that myriad of, right?
Right.
It's myriad stuff.
Exactly.
But, you know, you've got this new project that you've really been working on, the Relicant Chronicles, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
So that's an epic fantasy series. The first book, Bones of Empire, came out from Falstaff Books in December. The second book, Trails of Bone, actually comes out the very start of July. It's a 5-book series. I'd like to describe it as Game of Thrones meets Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where the only form of magic left is ancestor worship as ritualized cannibalism.
Okay, so this is at the Falstaff table, right?
This is at the Falstaff table.
Yeah. This is like right up my alley.
I literally thought that too.
I love these sweet love stories.
Yes, you wrote a book series for me. How thoughtful.
Yes, well, you're very welcome.
That's your demo right there.
I was thinking we probably shouldn't get it for the nieces because they're 3 and 4.
Yeah, it might be a little ahead of them. Wait till 5 and 7. Maybe.
So, you know, here's your future nightmare.
Yeah, we'll just put it aside for them and hold it up for
you
later.
You said this is going to be a 5-book series?
Yes.
Did you plot out the entire 5-book series before? Or
I did, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the entire thing mapped out, all the books. It was a very strange process for me in part because yeah, I've known John for years, but I've never worked with him before. But this book, I released the first book in England first because there was a British publisher who was interested in it. And then Tantor Media heard about it, and they actually contracted all 5 books. So what that means with traditional publishing is it means I can't sell it to a major publisher because they want audio rights. And
yeah.
Tantor's offer was too good for me to pass up. Yeah, thank you. I'm turning this side. I'm trying to be in front of the mic, but also, you know, not ignore people.
For the non-visual members of our podcast, as in all of you, you can't see that Aaron's trying to be polite and look at us, so we had to switch his mic.
Yes,
so.
Thank you. So, you know, the great thing is that John is very flexible about it, so I was able to go to John and say, look, you know, I really want to work with you, but I can't give you the audio rights. But because Tantor bought all 5 at once, it meant I had to actually structure them all and plan them all out. And we've got a 6-month every 6 month release schedule with them.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's like ambitious. You're definitely not George R. R. Martin.
No, I'm sort of the opposite of George R. R. Martin. Yeah. So yeah.
I don't think you planned a darn thing.
At least until you get your TV series going, right?
Well, you know, hey, I would not complain about that. Absolutely.
Would be super interesting, that's for sure.
Right.
Then people would be walking around poking you with sticks, going right faster, right faster.
It doesn't.
I have never had that problem. That has never been an issue for me.
Do you like have a structured writing schedule where you wake up and it's like, okay, I'm going to go to work now?
Well, so I actually have a day job. So I only write in the evenings. Huh. So I do have a structured schedule. My schedule is that I come home from work. we all have dinner, cause I'm married and have two kids. We all have dinner. And then afterwards my wife goes upstairs and I go downstairs to the corner of the family room that is considered my office. And I write for a couple of hours. So when I'm on task with a book, I do a chapter a night.
Wow.
So yeah,
it's amazing. Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, no one has ever complained that I write slowly. So that's not the issue with me.
Hey, how do you approach? You've done things like RPG writing,
yeah.
And I guess licensed properties as mm-hmm. well as your original stuff. How do you approach those? Is it different kind of switch in your head where you like, okay, I'm going to write an RPG now. I need to write in this structure, or
yeah, I mean, I started in RPGs actually, so that was where I began, and I wrote RPGs for like 15, 20 years, wow. And then segued into fiction. And then took a sort of detour at one point from tie-in fiction to children's books and then educational books and then back around to novels. And I still keep my fingers in a lot of the different pies. So there is a switch. I mean, I have to stop and think about how things work differently. Like writing, especially writing like game books and game mechanics and stuff is very different from writing narrative. So I really have to stop and remind myself, you know, and I also do a lot of different, I do a lot of genre hopping. So, I mean, I write occult thrillers, wacky science fiction comedy, superheroes, epic fantasy, urban fantasy, almost everything except straight up military and straight up romance I've written. So, wow. Yeah.
So if one of those other ideas rears its ugly head, yeah. Have you ever had to like put one part away and write on another? Or if you're on a schedule, you're on a schedule?
If I'm on a schedule, I'm definitely on a schedule. And I'm a very start to finish sort of writer. So once I start a book, like I, you know, push all the way through it. I have friends who will say things like, you know, oh, you know, I'll write the parts that interest me first, and then I'll go back and I'll fill in the other sections. I don't understand how that works. So I do chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, and so on.
Yeah.
So if I'm on one project, another project pops into my head, which is of course when they always pop into my head, I have to just put that new one aside. I'll make some notes for myself. I'll set it aside. And when that project I'm currently on is done, that I can go back and figure out if I want to do that new one or if I want to do one of the other projects I have lined up. It's nice because I genre hop, so you know, I'll finish one book and then I'll work on something that's completely different in style, because it keeps things interesting for me. I do the same thing when I read. So, you know, I'll be reading a mystery novel and then I'll switch to reading a urban fantasy novel and then I'll switch to reading, you know, a silly action adventure novel or something like that and go back and forth. So it's good because it does keep me engaged and keeps me interested, and I have a lot of different things that I could work on next. So it's always a question, okay, which one is going to be the most exciting for me? And often, you know, which one has the soonest deadline, you know, which one is somebody waiting for, things like that.
Interesting. What's on your reading stack right now?
So what am I reading right now? I actually just finished reading... I read The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle recently, which was a really interesting book. It's a murder mystery mixed with time travel and sort of body swapping.
Oh.
Yeah, cool. That was pretty fascinating. Oh, and then after that I read Blackfish City, which was also really, really good. And then I just read, I'm a huge fan of F. Paul Wilson, the Repairman Jack series, and there are a couple of shorter ones that he's done that I hadn't read yet. So I just picked up two of those from Amazon. I had Kindle credits randomly, and so I used those to pick those up. So I just read one of those, and I have the next one to read.
Okay.
And so along with the Relicant Chronicles, so you're on book two now, correct?
I'm on book, well, I finished book two. Book two will be out in July. I'm going to start book three pretty soon because that should be out in December.
And so what are the first three titles?
Well, so the first one's Bones of Empire. The second one is Trails of Bone. See, you're gonna get me in trouble because I don't actually remember the title of the third one yet.
That's okay.
I have it written down.
No, it's a secret. It's a secret.
There we go. It's a secret.
It's
right,
a secret. I was trying to spoiler it here on the podcast, but sorry. I understand that you have certain
almost
obligations.
Almost got me.
Okay. So we're going to go with that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But you also have a something that you're working on releasing at Gen Con, correct?
I do. I've got a novel that I wrote for Mutants and Masterminds, which is a superhero role-playing game from Green Ronin. So they started a fiction line called Nasaba Press. And this is the first Mutants and Masterminds novel, which I'm pretty excited about because it's the main character in it. Mutants and Masterminds has this whole storyline where there's this storm. They call it the storm with capital S. And that when that storm hits, all these people who get caught in the storm get powers. And some of them wind up with becoming heroes. Some become villains. Some just sort of tuck their powers away and don't really do anything with them. So my book is called Height of the Storm, and it follows several of the characters who get hit in the storm. And in particular, the lead character is a young woman who has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a muscular disorder. It's a genetic disorder. And it's sort of one of the invisible disabilities. So there's actually a lot of people in the world who have it. In fact, pretty much any contortionist you've ever seen or heard of has it. My wife and kids have it, so I'm very familiar with it. And so I really wanted to do a character who had something like this, and in particular, she gets superpowers, but the whole point, the superpowers don't make that go away because it's part of who she is. She has to learn how to adjust. She's always learned how to adjust to having this disability, but now she has to learn how to adjust to having that and having the superpowers, which in some ways exacerbate it and in some ways actually complement it. So, you know, but I didn't want to have her get this and then go, ha ha, I'm cured, because that's not, you know, that's a cheat and it's a horrible thing to say to people who've lived with this all their lives.
Right.
So.
Right.
Sorry. I think that's really good. I remember an Incredible Hulk series where I think Bruce Banner or Dr. Banner got ALS. Mm. And then because of the Hulk, it was killing him. But then because of the Hulk, when he actually went to die, the Hulk took over and healed him. And
right.
I always felt that was, I know you have to keep that character going, but it was a right. huge cop out to me. It was just,
yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. I like that.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about the book. My editor was thrilled with it, which is great. You know, so yeah, that'll be out premiering at Gen Con, which is really exciting.
Does that have a title?
Height of the Storm.
The Height of the Storm.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I've had less than one cup of coffee. I'm so sorry. So we do have a couple minutes before we have to release Aaron, and I just want to make sure, are there any questions in the audience for Aaron before we keep hogging all his time? They've also not had coffee, so
fair enough.
We appreciate you all being here, plus, you know, sleep issues. But
well, Aaron, you go to cons of this size, and then you go to larger, obviously Gen Con, and
yeah.
other ones are much larger. Do you have any con survival tips since you go to all these different varying size of cons?
Yeah. Being on the other side of the table, what are your con survival tips?
You mean for like panelists and things like that? You know, I don't know. I mean, I've been doing cons for 20 some odd years, 28 or so. I was doing them as a player, then I was doing them as a publisher, then I've been doing them as an author. I love doing cons, you know, but my background is in academia, so I like teaching and being in classrooms and stuff, and this is like sort of the equivalent for me, except that it then becomes a conversation with the other panelists, which is really exciting. I think, I mean, the biggest thing I would say to anybody who hasn't done cons on this side of the table and is doing them for the first time is, you know, just sort of a general thing, which is kind of be respectful to the other panelists, you know, and make it a proper conversation. I mean, there are, unfortunately, people you'll wind up on a panel with and you can't get a word in edgewise. And, you know, that's not as much fun for the other panelists. I don't think it's as much fun for the audience members. I certainly haven't found it that way when I've been on the other side. You know, but as long as you're having a good time with the other panelists and listening to what they say and being involved in it, I think it's pretty exciting. Hydrate, always a good thing. You know, lots and lots of water.
Yes.
Very important. I always have a cup of water with me at a panel just in case, you know.
That's my rule. If you ever see me without water in my hand, tell me.
Yeah.
Because I've forgotten it somewhere and I need to pick it up and drink it. So
you do a lot of work in established worlds like Star Trek. And is that hard to write for that Do you find you have to like steep yourself in the lore before?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard, but it's very challenging, but it's also a really good challenge. I love doing it. Like I've done, you know, StarCraft and Warcraft and Star Trek, Stargate Atlantis, Eureka, a bunch of other properties, initially with RPGs, because so many RPGs, of course, are, you know, licenses. Yeah. So I worked on the Lord of the Rings RPG and things like that. You know, and often you wind up working in a property that you love already, and so obviously you know it. And there's that added concern in the back of your head that, you know, what if I mess this up? You know, because I already love it. And then sometimes you get brought in on a property that you don't really know well in advance, and then you have to get to know it and get to love it and find the things you really like about it. And then you're always worried about messing it up for the people who are reading it, because, you know, they know it at least as well as you do, if not better. Yeah. You know, and it's you know, an interesting experience to go to a convention and have someone come up to you with a book that's got bookmarks in it of all the notes they want to, you know, they think that weren't correct. You know, and you're just kind of like, okay, you know, but I hope you enjoyed it anyway and hope you had fun. So it is challenging, but it's a really exciting challenge, because it's fun to play in those worlds and play with those characters.
It's kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
It is.
If they love your work within their genre, then there's a good chance they're going to go say, hey, I want to find other Rosenberg works to read.
Right.
But then they're like, oh, that guy, he killed my favorite character.
There is that risk. Yeah. You know, and of course, the other thing is like, especially for me, because I write so many different genres and so many different tones, if someone reads, you know, for example, my work in the World of Warcraft novels, you know, that translates reasonably well to the Relicant Chronicles, because they're both epic fantasy. But if they pick up my Duck Bob novels, which are very Hitchhiker's Guide-esque, they're going to be really confused and possibly really disappointed, because it's a completely different tone.
So you've talked about your family illness, but do you have like multiple personality disorder when it comes to writing?
No, I just, you know, like I said, I don't like to be bored, and you know, it's, I don't understand how the people who write in just one genre and just one tone do it. And it's not, you know, I hope I'm not insulting them, because, you know, it's impressive that someone can stay in that one area for that long. Just for me, I guess I have sort of a writing ADHD, you know, because I feel the need to hop around and write different things all the time.
I feel like it's beneficial because it allows you to take things that are like in the epic fantasy and put it in the humor side or in the horror side. And people are like, oh, I would have never seen that coming, because that's right. Not, you know, unfortunately you try so hard to skip the tropes and the trolls, right? So,
yes. Yeah.
And it allows you to connect it all together. So, well, we do have a few minutes left. Just want to double check. Is there anybody? Yeah, oh, Candace. So the question was, what is your biggest piece of advice for aspiring writers?
Probably, so it's two part. Read a lot, read everything you can, as much as you can, and write a lot. You know, and finish what you start. Because, you know, I've had friends who, after years and years and years, finish a novel and they post about it and they're like, so I finished the novel and I don't know what to do next. And my response is always, first of all, you need to pat yourself on the back, because you have just done something that 99% of the people who say they're going to write a novel never manage to do. And the biggest issue with a lot of people is that they write and they rewrite and they rewrite and they rewrite and they never manage to finish it. You can't do anything with it until it's done. Like, you have to have a finished first draft, and then you can go back and look at it. But if you get stuck rewriting chapter 1 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, you're never going to get to chapter 2 and 3 and 4. And for me, you know, and I've done 30 some odd novels, I think, at this point, about 200 publications. So when I write a novel, that first chapter or two is always pretty much crap when I start, because I don't have the voice yet. I don't have the character yet. I don't have the rhythm yet. So by the time I get to chapter 3, things smooth out and now they're moving along and I have momentum. And then I go back and I fix chapter 1 and 2, you know, and so I have to feel that that's the case for a lot of people. And if you just keep going, things start to move along. Yeah.
Do you have like a set word count you try to get for your each chapter?
Not really. Like I said, I try to do a chapter a night when I'm on task. But a chapter can be anywhere for me from like 1,800 words to like 4,500 words. If it starts getting past 4,500, I probably need to split it into two chapters. So
I think that's my biggest challenge, is sometimes I just want to get this one scene in there, and then I'm like, that seems really short. I'm like, I feel like I have really short chapters that people are going to be like, that's 2 pages and another 2 pages. But
yeah, no, I think it's okay because, you know, I mean, when you read novels, you'll notice it. Like there'll be a chapter that's 2-3 pages long, and then there'll be another chapter that's 15 pages long. And, you know, I find it a little weird if I read a book and every single chapter is 1-2 pages long, but I also find it a little weird if I read a book and every single chapter is exactly 30 pages. So, you know, there's a rhythm involved.
I always, and probably Carol can attest to this for herself, when you're so tired, but you just want to read one more chapter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like 13 pages, and you're like, okay, no. Really? I need right? to finish this. But you just don't want to stop because you love being in the world. Well, Aaron, we have loved being in your world. Thank you. For our listeners that want to find you, how would they do that? Where's all the...
So I have a website. It's Griffin Rose, GRYPHONROSE.com.
You get a star for spelling that because I always have to spell for people and then I'm guessing.
I've spelled this one a lot. So, you know, you can find me there. I've got a Facebook page, which is, I think it's facebook.com/Aaron Rosenberg. You can find me on Twitter at Griffin Rose, same spelling. And then, yeah, you can find me at various cons. I'll be at next con for me is Origins Game Fair in Columbus, Ohio. And then I'll be at Shore Leave in Baltimore. And then I'll be at Gen Con for the Writer Symposium, which I go to every year, which is fantastic. And definitely if you're a writer and you're anywhere near Gen Con, you should go because it's a con within a con. We get somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 attendees just for the symposium. And it's amazing writers having these great conversations on the panels about all kinds of topics. And it's free for anybody who has a Gen Con attendee badge. So you just get the badge and then you can go to any of these panels.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much.
You. Yeah.
We enjoy it.
Thank you
for getting up so early in the morning to be with us.
No problem. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.